So tomorrow you're going to consider adding some enforcement elements to the rental registration policy. Kind of give me your thoughts on that and how you're going to vote on it.
Well, I'm going to vote for it. I'll say it right out. It's giving some teeth to our rental registration program is what it's doing. This is after we've met with rental property owners, renters, neighborhood people, had focus groups, did a questionnaire. And so what we're doing is having administrative penalties, if you will.
Yeah.
And so we're asking the rental property owners to sign an affidavit saying that they are aware that there's a maximum of four unrelated people and that they are showing that in their lease that there are four unrelated people. And if we have reason to believe that there are not, that there are more than four, there is an administrative penalty of $180 the first day and then $500 after the third violation. And then every we're not allowed by state to have more than $500 fine.
Okay.
But every day is a new incident. So
okay.
That fine can add up pretty quickly, and we think that'll be a deterrent.
All right.
Plus,
now,
we're also going to have a more enforcement.
People?
Yeah.
So now, have you got an idea of what that's going to cost you from a funding standpoint, or are you going to take people who are doing other things and add this to their responsibility, or are you going to have people who are specially designated just to enforce these rental registrations?
Great questions, and I don't have the answer.
Okay, all right. Well, but don't you have to, I mean, if you're going to vote for it, don't you have to vote in the funding to go along with it?
Yes, well, we're not voting for the additional code enforcement officers tomorrow night. We're just doing the administrative
step.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll address the code enforcement officers in the budget.
Okay. Okay, this is another narc out your neighbor thing. And again, I'm ambivalent about this. I mean, I am. But I understand for the people who've lived in someplace for 40 years and there are, in fact, five people living over there or more. What are you going to allow somebody to call in and say, hey, across the street from me is a house and there are five people who live there? How will the city respond to that, would you think?
I think we'd, you know, perhaps take a look-see. I mean, you know, drive by it a couple of times during the day, see how many cars are parked there.
I mean, I know you're on the administrative side. You're
right.
Not on the enforcement side.
Correct.
So I'm asking, I guess, what kind of guidelines would you think would be this so that you can charge, I guess, Lance, is Lance's group going to be in charge of this?
Yes.
Okay, Lance Sims. So, I mean, that concerns me a little bit.
excuse me. It's going to be Debbie Eller's group.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so Debbie Eller's group. Okay, so, and that's one group, okay? And we understand that you race to students to think about this situation. But, you know, there are other people who are here who are not associated with any institution of higher learning who probably have a lot of people living in their homes who may not be related to them. And, I mean, that's I'm trying to be general and gentle about this, but I mean, those are other areas where, I mean, enforcement seems to be difficult. With any kind of guideline, it's the enforcement that really is a problem here.
Yeah, that is the devil in the details. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
I believe that, you know, code enforcement will be able to determine if there's, you know, if they think there's more than five and there's credible evidence, then that's when you go to the rental registration and you check with the property owner and you say, hey, we believe that there's more than five. Can we see your lease? And if we ask to see the lease, it goes to the municipal court. It doesn't go to, it's not subject to the Open Meetings Act. It goes straight to the municipal prosecutor.
Okay, now let me say then here, let me be the devil's advocate. Let's say that I have proprietary information in that lease that I don't want everybody to see. Does that become part of the public record because you have given it to the city?
No, because you're giving it to the court. And it's not subject to the open record, so no one can see it except the judge.
Okay.
And the prosecutor.
Okay. So let's say that tonight this passes. We're at June, or tomorrow passes. It's June the 12th. When would you anticipate that this would be an enforceable act? In other words, people in place to actually do this?
I think we'd probably do it, and I don't know the exact answer to the question, but I'm thinking we'd do it October 1st when our budget year starts.
Okay. Nancy Berry joining us this morning. I'm distressed that this even needs to be in the newspaper, But the newspaper did a story today where they talked to Lance Sims, who explained the city cannot block the sale of the Lintec property to put Blinn's campus there.
That's correct.
I mean, it concerns me that people think that that can be done, first of all, because it can't. We've talked about this, willing buyer, willing seller. And again, I understand all the people in that subdivision. Have you been being communicated to by these folks?
I certainly have.
That would be an understatement.
Yeah. And I'm glad to hear from them. The thing is, as you said, it's a willing buyer, willing seller. We can't stop that at all. What we can do, and Blinn has agreed to do, is a traffic impact analysis study. And we're hoping the findings of that will tell us what the traffic count will be, where the pressure points will be, and the consultants that they hire will also offer suggestions for remediation. And then TxDOT has agreed that they're going to take Southwest Parkway and 6, that bridge is going to have to probably need some configuration. And also...
Now that's going to be TxDOT money. Is the city
that's
out...
correct.
Is the city out any money out of from this situation if those improvements need to be made?
Not that I'm aware of at this time.
Okay.
It certainly could be.
Okay. And they're good... And again, if this is... I want the city to do whatever they can to minimize the impact if this happens.
Sure.
But also, I don't think you should send that signal right now because this is an unsigned agreement. Am I right? I mean,
that is correct. Blinn is in its due diligence process, and I think it may be in the next week or two that period is up. For traffic, anything that happens inside the Blinn campus, Blinn police will take care of. Anything that happens outside in the city is the city police's responsibility.
It's fair to say that, I guess, in these subdivisions, you could, if it's not already so signed, allow parking like on just one side of the street and things like that to make traffic flow a little bit more effective?
If necessary, we certainly could do that.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, it's... It's complicated. I understand that. And I hope citizens understand the city cannot change this for you. This is just that's beyond the view of what this this organization can do. So,
correct.
Anyway, anything else going on?
Yeah. Tomorrow night, we're going to officially congratulate the College Station High School Cougars on their state championship
win. Yeah.
And it's a terrific accomplishment by a group of young men with no seniors.
Yeah, it could be back next year.
And we'll proclaim it College Station Cougars Day tomorrow night.
All right, well, we'll look forward to that. Okay, thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you.
That's Nancy Berry. She's the mayor of College Station. We visit the mayors on alternate Wednesdays.